Episode 416, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Ryan Miller is going to join us today. Looking forward to hearing from him. The Catwalk for Charity is back, and the timing is perfect to have him on because 10 years ago yesterday, he was traded from Buffalo to the St. Louis Blues. So we are going to get right into that with him. Obviously catch up, see how he's doing. He's got a son in hockey. I think he's coaching. I don't know. You can't remember all these conversations you have with guys. But he's going to be in town March 15th for the Catwalk for Charity is back. And we'll talk to him about that, what's going to be happening. And I've got to reminisce about a few stories with him. We caught up with Tanya Ineson from Seneca Resorts and Casinos and to talk about what's going on for March Madness. It was a good conversation about something fun they have planned for March Madness. So if you're into March Madness, then you're going to want to hear what Seneca has going on and what they have planned. Pretty cool stuff. Is it a big night here in Buffalo? Jack Eichel's back in town. Is that still a thing? I mean, they're putting it on ESPN Plus and Hulu. So we're probably going to get Bucci and that crew. Got to suffer through that. The league thinks it's a big game to put them on the big stage like that.
I don't feel the same about Bucci. I think he does a nice job. He's entertaining to listen to. That being said, you asked me, is Jack Eichel still a thing, you know, coming back here to Buffalo and playing in front of the fans, or is that kind of like passe? And the answer to that is very simple. No. I mean, Jack Eichel is still very, very, very fresh in the minds of Saberland. Fans are definitely going to want to watch him play. There's no question about it. And it would be a massive, and I mean a massive draw, a packed house, I would think, if Jack Eichel's playing in that game against the Sabres.
Listen, think about he's come back twice to play here.
Yep.
First time was a disaster, an emotional disaster for him. We tore into him. That's episode 64. If you haven't heard it, go back and check that out. That was his first trip back to Buffalo. He reacted in the media. He was being booed. And then the next year he came back after all the drama and everything else that had gone on. And what did he have? Yeah, I know he had the hat trick. You have an assist too. He might have 4 points that night. 3 goals for sure.
Yeah.
And it was, and then they go on to win the Stanley Cup. And he very easily could have been the Conn Smythe Trophy winner in the playoffs last year. So
very much, very much.
So this, for me, this is still a conversation. This does still burn a little bit. This does, you know, a couple years.
What do you mean burn?
Ago,
what do you mean burn?
Not me. I don't care. Let me just make sure that I state that. But I think it burns the Sabres fans a little bit because Jack's gone on. He's still excelling. The team is phenomenal. He's won a Stanley Cup, and the Sabres are right where they were the entire time he was here. Jack's the problem. Jack's the problem. Jack's the problem. Jack's the problem. Fucking get rid of Jack. Ryan O'Reilly leaves. Jack goes and wins. O'Reilly goes and leaves. Reinhardt scored his 40th last night. Fucking Montour is a star. You got Rodriguez on that team. Allmark's a fucking a Vezina Trophy winner. Robin Leonard became a star. Like how many, it's like, and Jack leaves and everyone's happy. He's like, and I was one of them. I mean, I'm not going to fucking lie to you. I was one of them.
Listen, whether you love Jack or hated Jack needed to leave.
But things have changed drastically for me. I watch a Jack Eichel highlight and I think, what a story. What a story. Because the situation here is still the same. So in hindsight, you can look back and say, you know what? Yeah, whatever. Some things could be different, you know, but from the professional hockey side of things, from the NHL hockey player side of things, you look at this and you think, what a story. What a story. The drama that surrounded this guy, the neck injury, the trade, the return, the next year return, and then the cup. I don't know. It's a lot to unpack in there, man. We tanked for this guy. We tanked for this guy. We didn't tank for him. We tanked because the last place team got him. I think it still is a big game, and I think it still is meaningful. Not to the Sabres, not to Jack, but maybe to fans, maybe to media members. I don't know. And the reason why I say that is because last year was the point where Jack can say, I can cut the cord with Buffalo. After the first return, that he redeemed himself last year. Then he wins a cup. He can officially sever the emotional cord with Buffalo. Now I think it's just a game for him. Now it'll be very curious to see how he goes out and plays, because he's lived through the absolute worst side of it, and he's had the absolute major glory of it. And now it'll just be interesting to see how he just comes in as a champion. Champion Jack Eichel coming to town.
He's won the ultimate prize. I'm happy for him. He played insanely well in the playoffs. I love watching Jack Eichel play the game. He's a special player. That's what irritates, I think, Sabres fans is that not that they hate Jack Eichel, they hate that Jack Eichel didn't work out here, because the guy is a stud. Yeah. He is unbelievable. He is fun to watch. And they're irritated and upset, not only because he left this city, he makes $10 million. He's living in Vegas, which is literally like living in a dream.
And his game's evolved, and he's not even putting up the points that I think people expected him to when he was winning when he would win a championship.
That's
his game has evolved. He's a point a game guy, but he's a much better defensive player, and that has to do with the coach. Remember, Van was telling us that the coach called him. He's like, listen, very similar to the Scotty Bowman conversation that you hear that he had with Steve Yzerman and all his other star players. You have to sacrifice on the one end of the rink so we can excel at the other end of the rink, which is the defensive zone, the defensive side of the puck.
Yep.
You know, so the evolution of the player has been, it's been unbelievable in such a short period of time. Just goes to show what coaching can do for a star talent.
Yes.
Speaking of star talents, let's go talk to our star talent, Ryan Miller. I'm just going to record right away. What's happening, Millsy?
Got to get all the good stuff, huh?
Oh, well, this is the best stuff.
This is usually the blackmail stuff.
Well, before listen, listen, we can cut through the shit. I can just ask you the one question that matters, the only question that matters in this entire conversation. When you get into town, I got a ton of shit I need to get signed.
Yeah.
Petey's got to pay some bills right now, Millsy. So,
oh, fuck. It's hilarious.
They're on the 13th there, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Coming back to the catwalk for charity. No, seriously, though. You met my son's teacher's dad after the Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame induction. This guy is a massive Miller fan. Like every time they have Jersey Day at school, dad, like the teacher wears the USA Miller jersey. So,
I'm keeping it alive.
I gotta get it signed, because he's gonna be my kid's teacher, I think, next year.
Oh.
Couple extra grade points there. So, I love it. Millsy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Where are you at right now?
Newport Beach. We moved in July down here. So making it work. New routines, new stuff for the kids. Been a little bit, it was a grind early, but it's been great. Honestly, it's a good spot for a family.
What's that do for youth hockey for you?
We moved from, ironically, we were with the Junior Kings forever, and now Bodie was a Junior Duck last year. So he's moving forward. He'll be with the Junior Ducks, hopefully. This year's a squirt transition year, so see how everything plays out.
Are you, here's the magical question, are you coaching?
I was an assistant coach last year, and I always helped out in the mites, because, you know, the mites always get shafted a little bit. The coach never really shows up. You know, they got like 2-3 teams when they're doing the big organizations. They got like a squirt team. They might have another team. So the mite games are just like, yeah, sorry, can't make it. So I was always on the bench for the last 3 years.
You're officially the head coach.
Yeah, I'm. I mean, we're running my systems.
Yeah. Is he a goalie?
No. No, oh, we know that he's we know that no, all he's taken after you know the older brother.
Yeah.
He's yeah. What is he, a winger? Center?
Well, Bo, yeah, Bodie's a forward.
I thought he was playing both.
Yeah, I wanted him to play both, but God, the kids specialize into everything so early now. In my head I'm thinking like I'm getting Bodie the opportunity to play every position. And you know, meanwhile, I was telling the parents, like, all our kids got to try goalie. At 6 years old, they all tried goalie. I made them. I was manager of that team. And I was like, listen, every kid's going to learn how to respect every position. Your kid's not a forward already. Your kid's not a defenseman already. Like, and you're going to have to take at least one crack at goalie. You get one, like, we broke it up by the week. And then after that, I just left it open to whoever wanted to play. And like, Bodie wanted to go back in and play. And then I forced him to play goalie for my team because I volunteered to coach a spring tournament team. So we had like a month worth of games, and I've made him play because like they signed all these kids up and then they were going to have kids just play goalie without equipment. And I was like, are you guys nuts? These kids can shoot the puck now. Like, you need goalies. So he got a bunch of goalies.
So he quit goalie when you started coaching?
No, not really. Like, it's just. Okay.
I was about to say, that sounds like an F you to dad.
No. I think he liked it, but his creativity and disposition is kind of more like he likes to make plays, and you are who you are in hockey, right? Like we all know that. Like your personality really shows in your positioning, so that's just kind of how he is.
My son asked me today, actually last night, he asked me. He said, "Dad, how old do you start body contact in hockey?" And I think is it 12 or 13?
13.
Okay, I told him 13. He said, "Okay, can I?" He said, "Can I play hockey when I'm 13?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think
you want to ramp up to that a little bit."
Yeah.
Well, that's good, Millsy. We're happy, man. We're happy to hear that you're doing well. And what about professionally? Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, are you, you know, with what you're doing?
Yeah, I work with Mike Greer at the San Jose Sharks. He's the GM there. I can make it a much longer story, but he called me when he got the job and asked if I had interest in helping him, but we had just had our little girl Kaya. And I just was looking ahead saying, I don't see a whole lot of travel in my future there, bud. So I kind of pushed and he's like, you know what? Next year, I'm going to call you back. So he did call me back and I just made a nice deal with him. I said, listen, I can't miss any birthdays. I'm not missing holidays. I just retired, but I will do the job for you because a lot of it's remote, right? Like all the video work that I need to do is available. It's easy. Like I was doing a bunch of it last night, getting caught up, and so he's got me really hammering down on the amateur side, getting ready for the draft, trying to compile lists and rankings and player profiles. And then
does that just consist of a lot of watching junior hockey, D1 hockey, things like that, just getting familiar with the kids and giving your opinion? So obviously you're keying on goaltending, or are you
on goaltending? But like if I show up, like I went to first week of February, I went to Plymouth for the under-18 Five Nations challenge. It was like a Sabres reunion. You know, Vanek also is working with the Sharks, right? So he's there, we're hanging out. That was cool to get caught up with him for like 3 days. You know, our whole staff's there, like Danny Briere is there with his staff. Brian Campbell's there with his staff and with the Blackhawks. And it's just
Chris Jury.
No, he didn't show up.
No, come on. I mean, there he's working on winning Stanley Cups right
now. Yeah, he's too busy being president and GM. but we were just laughing because it was really a Sabres reunion. There's tons of the boys are there and we're hanging out, having fun, watching hockey. And it's funny how things have flipped around, but but if I'm there, I'm giving opinion on other players, but it comes down to like these guys, you have to really respect what the scouts do, man. It's crazy. Like these guys are dialed in. They know everything about everybody, especially in the draft year, but coming up the pipe, and then they have the resources to look back, you know, a couple of years, see how guys have kind of evolved. And that's where I'm kind of like trying to get caught up. Like I don't have that benefit of watching a kid evolve before the draft. Like I'm just watching how he's doing his draft year. The other side of my job is player development, which I did more in the first half of the year. I was up in San Jose with the Barracuda. They had a 3-goalie situation going on there. So these days. Where they focus
how does
on
the three goalie situation work in the AHL?
The three boys we have there right now are pretty close in age. Like two are identical age, and both are rookies, right? So they're fighting.
So it's a legit competition.
No, this is pretty competitive situation, and we are trying to we tried to get them early on the rotation, and then Wichita's East Coast League team guys would go spend like a week or two down there to stay fresh if they're not, you know, hitting their stride in the American League. So not ideal, but it is what it is.
Well, here's the thing. You know, this is a conversation that we've had all year with the Sabres, because the Sabres started their season with three goaltenders. I know that when you started, I think, your NHL career, you had a three goaltender rotation, right?
Well, we were there, but we never had that three guys in one spot.
Okay.
They kept us, you know, one guy was out when two guys were together.
But even in 05-06, what did they do then? Like, wasn't Mika coming on at the, wasn't he sitting in the penalty box or on the bench half the time?
Yeah, but I got hurt.
Oh, that's right. You got hurt.
I got hurt. That's why you remember that playing out like that. I was hurt for 6-7 weeks. I had a broken thumb.
Yeah, but he was eating chicken wings in the sauna, and like there was some tension there. He was frustrated.
No, yeah, early on for sure.
And was he not a first round draft pick?
Yeah, they both were. Marty and him were first rounders.
Wow.
I think.
What are your thoughts on a three goaltender rotation? Like how does that work, trying to get into rhythm? How does it work in practice when you're taking shots and just feeling really comfortable about your game, getting into maybe a game rhythm? If you're playing well, you continue to play multiple games in a row. How does that happen when you're dealing with a three goaltender rotation?
I don't see how it can happen. I'm not a big fan. It's you're not going to have the guy as none of the guys I think are going to be ready. Even your starting goalie, like you can just give them the net, but you're always going to probably trend your practice towards getting the guy out of there. Like, I don't understand how conditioning can happen on that level. Like, you can do all the goalie skates you want, but like, you got to have zone play and guys getting up and down the ice and holding your form. I just, every time I talk to a goalie who's in that situation, like, their conditioning is always an issue. Like, you don't realize it, but if you're just in the net for 45 minutes to an hour and you're just getting work and you're not going off for a water break and coming back or hanging out for even like 2 or 3 minutes, even if you're back in the net after a couple of minutes, like, I mean, you let your guard down, you're hanging out, the tension level's lower. I don't know. I think mentally and physically it's just not ideal.
Basically what's happened here in Buffalo is we've had Devin Levi, who's basically like the next Ryan Miller, who had an incredible, incredible D1 college career, has been brought in here with no games in the minors, just got brought right up into a three-man rotation with Ukkobekkelukkonen and Comrie. And it was just, you know, Petey and I did not like this. And we're not goaltenders, okay? I don't pretend to understand the position, but I would think that rhythm and taking shots and feeling comfortable and building confidence is very big for goaltenders. And when you have three and you're waiting to see who's going to play the next night and you're not in that rhythm, I would think that would hurt the goaltender's confidence and the ability to play at the highest level, right?
Pride as well.
Pride.
Yeah.
And then, I think all three of the goaltenders had struggled a little bit throughout that time until they made the decision finally to bring Levi to the minors. And now you have Ukkobekkelukkonen since January 1st, that's ultimately been the number one goaltender in the league. And they've given him the runway. They're saying, you're the number one. Well, and you're going to
They're going to argue then that it worked for them. Right. So they got somebody finally stood out. Like, there's always going to be, if somebody ends up playing well, then you're always going to lose the argument of, well, this isn't great for the goalies. It's like, well, this guy's playing good and he's winning hockey games. I just think
it looks great for UPL. This looks great for UPL here in Buffalo right now.
When you think about it though, he's a good prospect. He took his time to develop. He's coming through injury. He's finally far enough away from the injury. Like, all the things do line up for him where he should be hitting a stride right now. And that's great. I'm happy for him because he's a nice kid. Met him a few times. And, but on the other side too, like, Comrie is a good pro. I mean, banged up with injury this year. I think he's had a kind of a sputtering start that doesn't line up well in that situation at all. And then you got the Levi, young guy, another, spent some time with him when they were through Anaheim. I snuck up on the trainers and I almost got Georgie. I snuck up on him, almost got him. But I spent about an hour and a half down there. Craig Anderson was in town and talking with him, talking with all the trainers and the boys, caught up with a few of the players. But Levi was one I actually finally got to talk to him for a while. I like him. He's got a good drive. He's creative. Like, he's thinking of ways to, be better and stand out. Like, he spent a few minutes talking about his 3D goggles or whatever he's got going on there.
What kind of questions do you ask him?
I just wanted to meet the kid. I wasn't trying to really go deep on him.
Okay.
I don't have a interest in developing him like that. Right. Like, I just wanted, be supportive of him, hanging out. I'm not trying to overwhelm anybody. I just wanted to say hi to him. And we spent a few minutes. We're talking about goalie equipment stuff, right? Like, he seems like he's like that heady in that way where he wants to talk about the stuff he's interested in and just kind of let him go. And it was nice. He's a good kid.
Just goalie nerd talk. I think we need three quarters of an inch over here.
That part of my thumb because it's low. I can move my wrist a little better. You cut this pad back a little bit. It's irritating my finger.
I might give them a hard time, but I was on the sewing machine too.
10 years ago.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
So we had Roisey on yesterday, and that episode's coming out today. So today will be yesterday. And this is like Spaceballs. Like, when will then be now? We're now. That's then. But he was on yesterday's show. And he was in St. Louis at the time, and I completely forgot about that. So he gave us the perspective from the other side with Halak leaving and who are they looking for and all that stuff. But it was a little bit different with you leaving Buffalo because you are Ryan Miller. And so take us through that day. Did you know it was coming?
Well, I didn't know it was coming like that day, but I mean, it's like showed up to the ring. It's like, well, just don't get dressed.
But they had no conversations leading up to that, even letting you know that, listen, Ryan could be going in a different direction. We might be thinking about moving you. Did you have any conversations with your agent? Were you blindsided by this?
No, not blindsided. I had conversations. I mean, I had a lot of conversations with Patty LaFontaine about what was going to happen. And then fewer conversations after that.
So what was the conversation with Pat LaFontaine?
When Patty was... Well, he wanted to rebuild and he wanted to do it a certain way. He had a plan in his mind and he wanted me to be a part of it. And I just was like, well, I went through the building process here and it's been a tough couple of years up until that point. We're losing some momentum and our veteran guys are getting traded every year. Another guy or two are gone. I mean, your core is not your core anymore. I think Van got traded early that season, really early. So I think up to that point, I was just kind of like, well, it's just, what's really here? I'm going to have to go. I don't know how many years this is going to take. And in your mind, you're like, you only get one chance at the NHL. It's like 10 years ago, like I'm in my early 30s by that point. In your mind, you're like, well, I might only have a few years left. I got lucky. I got to play until my 40s, but I wasn't a starting goalie for those last 4 years. I wanted the chance to compete. I didn't want to wait until my mid to late 30s and then maybe have a chance. So I just put it out there as like, well, if I can't sign an extension until I know your plan and you guys put some other pieces in place, I'm happy to sign an extension if you guys show me that this plan can work. But after Patty kind of left, it was more about the new regime and how they're going to operate. And it wasn't a lot of conversations about how things are going to work other than I would possibly be a trade asset.
For fact's sake, Van got traded early that year, early enough that he could get even traded again. So were there other teams than just St. Louis?
I mean, some of it's kind of cloudy in how it comes together. But I remember talking to my agent. We talked about it leading up to the deadline or early enough where listen, these are the teams that have a legitimate chance. And you know, we tried to structure in a way where we'd end up in a team that had a better chance. And St. Louis had probably the best chance. And still looking back on it, it's like, it just really sucks that didn't work out. Obviously, you know, St. Louis fans, I still get chirped continuously for how we got bounced in the first round. But I'll put my one excuse on it is that we had a lot of guys injured, and it was crazy. Like, our whole top six forwards, I think every guy was touched by an injury. And I think Petrangelo was healthy, I think. But
it's exactly what Roizy said yesterday. And it was the Olympic year too, right?
Yeah.
And all the guys, like, you had so many players at the Olympics, and guys were just gassed.
Guys were gassed. And then, like, Oshie got concussed like 2 days before the playoffs. Like, he got absolutely just wrecked. Backus got concussed in the first game. Seabrook took him out. Tarasenko was our leading point scorer, and he had a broken wist. He had a cast on his wist.
Was that the year had you the had that points. Wild game with Chicago? A few games.
Yeah, we had triple that the game overtime. It went six games. It was kind of undercover hard series. I mean, it was double overtime, triple overtime, and then another overtime or two in there. It was like four overtime games. I mean, we played six, but I mean, we almost played seven and a half games. And the guys were beat up. Like, I feel bad for the boys. Like, but they learned something. Like, the guys who ended up winning the cup there and sticking it out, right? Like, they benefited for it. It's just, you know, too bad that I couldn't be a part of it. I just laugh because I still get chirped by all the St. Louis people. Oh, it was a terrible trade for them. But it's just like, man, you guys certainly benefited if you look at it the right way. Like, your boys were forged in iron. Like, they were forged in iron. They became harder. They learned how to win.
Yeah, and they honestly got it done. I'll say it for you, Millsy. Fuck off. You got your cup. Ryan O'Reilly fell out of love in Buffalo, the town that Millsy played in, and then he goes and wins a cup for you.
They just don't know all the perspectives sometimes. I mean, yeah, we should have done better on paper. But that was a tough series. That was a hard way to end the year. And I give the boys in St. Louis credit. Like, that was one of the coolest teams I've been a part of. They were tight. They had some stuff to iron out for sure, you know, as far as the right dynamic, but they're a cool group. I still like seeing them.
What do you mean by that, Millsy? What do you mean by that? That they had to iron this stuff out? Like, what makes a winning culture? Like, what puts you over the top? Like, what did they have to learn?
Well, I mean, when I was there, they had Hitch, right, as a coach. Yeah. So Hitchcock is a coach, super detailed, wants you to play a certain way, and he can grind on guys. He's like, I mean, it's borderline annoying. like he got the guys to kind of fall in behind and play for each other by kind of like pulling a Herb Brooks. Like, he wants you to kind of hate him. Like, you respect what he can do is like X's and O's. Like, he thinks a lot about the game, but man, he just pokes at guys and pokes at guys and pokes at guys.
Do you think that works still? Do you think that works today in today's game?
I think
mindset of player,
it's tough, man. It definitely has shifted, but you still have to have, I don't know. It's like you can't break a guy's confidence, but you can push them to a limit. You start breaking a confidence that line of confidence, and then you start building back. And it takes too long. Like, you gotta have the guys accountable to themselves and each other, and you can push as hard as you want. Just don't break the confidence. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one because you also can't baby them back, right? Like, they have to step up and be men and own it. Hitch was tough in a way to play for, and he was super hard on some of the guys in certain ways. But I think he forced them to play a certain way. And then when Hitch was gone, another voice comes in, but they still had that foundation of what they learned. Like, and that's what I mean by forged in fire too. It's like we lost to the Blackhawks, but they were a really good team, really detailed under Quinville. They played a certain style. Like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but they would draw you backwards and stretch the neutral zone. Not like no one else really did that for a while. They would start the play, and you would start your neutral zone, and they would pull backwards. And then you're like, against the aggressive teams, like, oh, we go two guys hard. So two guys would come up hard. They'd loop two guys behind in the middle. They'd fly with speed. They'd enter your zone with three guys. It was hard to pick up on. Like, they were so good at hinging with, like, their decors and, you know, veteran and talented and amazing. They would just suck you in, and then boom, they're attacking your zone with speed, and they just get your zone no matter what. So you learn how to play against that kind of stuff. You know, they came out the other end of it and obviously, you know, won the cup. So
looking for a night out, maybe go watch a game at a bar, maybe even have a nice fancy dinner. Who knows? I might even get crazy and play some bets while I'm at it. And there's only one place to do all that. Only at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. You can hit up Stick Sports Bar and Grill, grab an unbelievable steak at the Western Door, gamble at the casino, or even play some bets at the sportsbook. All in one location at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.
If you're injured in a car crash, you need an attorney who's ready to drop the gloves. Call Salino and let them fight the insurance company for you. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s, 888-888-8888. Car crash? Call Salino. When we played together after year one of the catwalk for charity, Millsy.
Yeah.
When the schedule came out, there were two crucial dates for the boys. One, when's our rookie dinner? And two, when is Millsy's event? So
that's how we wanted to make it. We wanted it to be something fun, man. Like, that's what we're here for, right? Like, we're playing hockey because it's fun and, you know, we're lucky enough to make a living, but also, like, you got to carve out some stuff. Like, you can't just go the whole year of just like go home and go to bed.
Well, it speaks volumes. And I say this honestly, it speaks volumes. You can tell how players approach an event, you know, with what they do when they're there. I mean, the boys showed up for you, Millsy, and every single year, every single person that went to those events got their money's worth because the boys were having fun. Yeah. They loved being there. It was an amazing event, and it's coming back. How did this all start?
Just through the Sabres, because they, you know, as part of retiring my jersey, they were kind enough to start an endowment to fund, you know, Carly's Club and Courage of Carly at Roswell Park. It just, because it's always that something we had going on, but it's like, how do we keep these programs going? How do we fund it? And when I left town 10 years ago, you know, we went from being a major fundraiser and to the point where we got contracts and everything with the hospital and everything's all set up. And then I get traded and it's like, we don't have that soapbox anymore. I don't have the time to be in town. And obviously, continuing playing, starting a family, you know, I don't have that same level of influence. So like, I didn't think it was going to come around again. And it kind of came up as part of the conversation. It's like, hey, listen, we want to fund this. We want you to be around more. What can we do? And they're like, we're even thinking like, maybe we should just do a charity event, do the catwalk again. And, you know, we'll run it and help you organize it. And the money will go into that endowment and it'll just, you know, every year we'll start building that fund up and then we'll decide how much money every year goes out every single year. And it's just going to be sitting there building and earning and going towards the kids. And I was like, that is an outstanding idea because I don't really have the time to, like I did then, to be around, you know, there's a lot of decisions that go into making it work and a little bit different spin, but we're going to put our toe back in the pool here and see how it goes. And obviously, are you going to show up there, PD? Are you coming?
Oh, yeah, I'm coming. I'm waiting.
What about
to
Riff? If I'm Riff, going. You in town or you?
I'm in town. I have states that weekend for my son. So I just want to make sure that.
Is it a Wednesday night, this thing?
No, it's
Thursday, isn't it?
It's like a Friday night.
Or yeah. Friday night?
Smart.
Well, the Sabres
the
play
15th, right?
Sabres play Thursday and then the event's the next night.
Okay, Friday the 15th. Greg, if you're not there, that's absolute bullshit. It's absolute fucking bullshit. Any Ryan Miller memorabilia?
Any more dogs? So Danny Pie can go and spend 10 grand?
I just heard from somebody who I haven't heard from in a long time text me and they're like, hey, they are. The person who had donated some puppies before is interested. They got a litter. So there's a chance. I don't know. We got to okay it with the Sabres because that it's their.
I wonder if kind of their dog gig. Is still alive. It was a lab. How many years ago was that?
Some of the people have contacted me. When my dog Puck passed, some people sent some stuff on like Instagram, or whatever. The puppy has been the best dog ever. All the dogs ended up like going to great homes. Like we did kind of pre-screen, like, and give people a heads up, like, hey, like if you're bidding on this dog, like we need to know what's going on. Well, like we're not just throwing puppies.
They have $6,000.
We're not tossing puppies off the stage. Like you get a puppy, you get a puppy. Yeah. Like
Oprah Winfrey style.
Like the people knew it was a charity thing. Like right, like at the time you get the tax write off and you get a dog. Like, but we checked. Like, hey, you guys know this is a living creature, right? Like, and they're like, no, like all of them were like, no, our kids are the perfect age. They're gonna love this dog. And like honestly, I've heard from almost a majority of the people who own the puppies, they're like, this has been the best dog ever. This dog, our kids love it. We love the dog. It's been a great situation. Like everyone, no returns.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you get an email. It's like, this dog has been involved in dog fights.
Gambling. Oh, come on. These are cute and cuddly type doggies. Come on.
Hey, any these animal are the, like
these
that.
Are the wimpy, these are the wimpy. Rips, these are the wimpy dying. Dogs. We only auction off wimpy dogs. Come on.
Okay, so you're going to the game Thursday night.
Yeah, I'll be in town. I'll come Thursday.
Okay. All right. I'll see you there with the few things to sign, Sharpie in hand.
I'll have to check my schedule here, but
don't worry, I'll cross paths with you at some point.
No, I think I get in. Like,
oh, you'll see me. Hey, you'll see me.
Milsey, do you have any sticks? Do you have any sticks of when you played? Like.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have sticks. Cause I have two of them, signed Miller jerseys, or signed Miller sticks. So I was going to sell you one. If you didn't have
Milsey, you know what I still have?
Yeah.
You left after the 05-06 season. You left. I've been asking you all year. Can I have a catcher? Can I have a catcher? Can I have a catcher? And you're like, no, I donate them. And it goes to you had the Steadfast Foundation and everything. And then at the end of the year, I walk in, maybe it was accidentally placed there, but it was in my stall. You left me your catcher after the old time.
What'd you do with it?
I have it. Milsey signed it, had him over for dinner, his annual autograph signing every year, jerseys, sticks, fucking pictures. I cook him dinner.
You really like hamming this up on people.
For dinner, she wouldn't get 5 feet in the door. There'd be fucking 200 items for him.
That's a good piece to have, man.
From the scary good playoff run, signed, not personalized. Bidding starts ass.
Yeah, PD's always very clear about that. Do not personalize this.
Sign it with the autographs that you signed for the kids, would you?
To Andrew.
All right, joining us is Tanya Ineson from Seneca Niagara Resorts and Casinos, and it's an exciting month coming up. Want to tell us what's going on for March Madness?
This year is the first year we're having this event. It's called Hoops Hangout. We have a mezzanine level. I mean, you've been to the casino, yeah? Yeah. So we've got this mezzanine level that overlooks the gaming floor. If anyone was there for New Year's Eve with the Goo Goo Dolls, we had a huge area up over Stir. So this area we actually have converted into our Hoops Hangout, where we're going to have fan caves.
The fan cave package is just right up my alley. I'm thinking to myself, hey, do we have to tell the wives about this? Like, what's going on right now?
I mean, if you don't tell, I won't tell. I would keep a secret. These fan caves can hold up to eight people. So you can grab seven of your closest friends. We also have tickets. So if you don't have friends, you just want to come by yourself, you could do that too. We've got some open court seats. So you'll just be able to enjoy the buffet and, you know, hang out and watch all the screens.
What's the situation for gambling? Because March Madness and gambling go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we actually are moving kiosks up to the mezzanine level. So you don't have to leave your kingdom, if you will. You can just stay right up there and you can actually make bets real time right from our kiosk. And you know what else? We also know that some people like to play blackjack while they're, you know, having some fun in their man caves. And we moved up two blackjack tables too. So you're going to be able to go play some blackjack, have some fun with cards, whatever you want to do.
So when are the dates on this? Like when can I book my room? Because this is right up my alley.
So it starts on a Thursday, March 21st, and goes through that Sunday. That's when we're having the first round. You know, that's when all the everyone's bracket starts to change. So we're going to have our man cave set up, and there's two sessions per day. So there's 2 5-hour sessions. So you can book whatever session you would like. And then we're going to come back on April 6th.
Next most important question is the pricing. What is a fan cave cost?
So a fan cave, and it's 8 people, is $600. If you break that down, it's just $75 per person. And I know we can all spend more than that, just dinner and drinks for one person.
Open court ticket.
So you can purchase the open court ticket. That's $40 per person. And again, all of the games and the buffet. We also are going to have like foosball, a pool table up there, because every fan cave should have some games, right? That you can go and beat your buddies at. So we're going to have some of those around.
Where can they get their tickets?
You could go to SenecaCasinos.com or you could go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
All right. So now that we have all the information out, now the big question, are you a college basketball fan?
I am.
So who is your team?
I like Purdue this year.
That, Craig, is what we call a bandwagon jumper. And you're hopping on the Purdue bandwagon.
I am this year. Cause you know what? I've traveled so much. Like I've lived so many places that I guess you could call, I'm a bandwagon sports person. Cause you know, there's some basketball up here, but it's not as intense as it was like when I lived in Miami. Like when I lived in Miami, you know, I couldn't, like, I had to like Miami.
I just have one question because I don't really care about Purdue. I just care about Duke. And I'm probably a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, that's just bandwagon action right there. But I grew up when I was younger watching, you know, we had Christian Laettner on our show last year, had the ability. He's a Buffalo kid. Just to be able to talk to him was just, it was amazing.
The brackets haven't even been set yet, right? They're playing all those games now.
I think the schedule comes out on March 17th.
All up right now, all the Arizona's number one and they're in the Western bracket. In the East, you've got, UConn, North Carolina. I mean, it's always the usual suspects.
So, right before we came on, I was talking to my brother-in-law who is now living in Arizona up near Scottsdale. And he plays on an adult league. And of course, you know, when we went out there, my husband and his brother, they redid, he's got a whole locker area in his garage that is just an homage to the Sabres. Everything is Sabres. His uniform is even Sabres. It's Sabres colors. He is a diehard Sabres fan. And I told Rich that I was coming on and he was like, you got to tell the guys I listen all the time. I'm religious listener. You know, as he's driving to the practice or the games, he's listening to your podcast all the time.
He's getting the real pregame show.
He does.
Who's his favorite player?
Oh, well, I mean, his favorite player is Gretzky. Lives and die Gretzky. And actually when you see, I know, not a Sabres player, but you asked me who his favorite players was and his favorite player is Gretzky.
Okay. What about his favorite Sabre player?
Right now? Right now he loves Skinner.
Oh, I think this interview's done.
What a great way to end the show. Thank you for joining us, Tanya.
Thank you.
That'll do it for After the Whistle presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Thank you, Ryan Miller, for joining us. We look forward to the catwalk for charity on March 15th. Thank you to Tanya Ineson from Seneca Resorts Casinos for coming on and talking about what they have going on for March Madness. So again, quick reminder, for more information on the Hoops Hangout, make sure to go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com. Thanks for listening. That night in Pittsburgh is my favorite night in the entire time in the NHL. It involved all of my favorite people. It was by far the next day, the bag skate, the water bottle. Clark MacArthur came down. He reminded me of the water bottle the next day in the locker room. The door leaner. Do you remember? Because me and Clarky were dressing in the other room with the goalies and the fucking door was closed. Or I closed the door to separate us from all the good players. And I leaned one of those little mini Dasani bottles on the door. Do you remember this? And then I knocked on the door and they opened it and the bottle just bent over and just spittled a little bit of water, which was a complete misrepresentation of Drew Stafford and Dan Pae's room the night before.
That's where I agree. You have to have fun. And that's like why we're doing the catwalk for charity again. Like you have to have fun. I just mean from the perspective of like, it's hard to go from college. Like I was that laid back. I wouldn't nap. I wouldn't really prepare the way I would in pro hockey. I was prepared. I took it seriously. I would do everything that you know of me. Like I work my hands, I warm up and stuff, but it was like, I was at class. I was in town. I would go for a walk around town.
Okay. Here's the thing. No one cares about your class. Did you party? Did you party at Michigan State? Like, tell me about, like, did you let loose a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
Millsy had a Trans Am.
Yeah. For a little while. Yeah.
You had a Trans Am.
Yeah.
Fucking Trans Am.
Oh my God. Just a legend. Eh? Were you Frank legend. The Tank in it? And
pulling up with his pads hanging out of the top.
No, like in college, like the hilarious part is like Sean Horkoff was our captain my first year. And Hork was like, at the end of the year, he's like giving me this like pep talk. He's like, we had a good year. He's like, you had a great year, man. He's like, you got to show up and hang out with the boys. You got to do more. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, I'm out with you guys like 3 days a week. Like what's going on? Like, you know, like it's like some of those boys are going out like 4 or 5 days a week. We're number one in the country. And like, it was still like that time and place you could still pull it off. Like, right. But I was like, I'm here trying to be a starting goal. I'm still out like 2-3 days a week with you guys. I'm out Sundays. I'm out Tuesdays. I'm like, I'm hanging out. Like we got games on Fridays, Saturdays. I'm like traveling. Like I'm out, I'm hanging out, I'm going to class. I'm getting it all done. And I was just laughing. But
like, and I think if there's one guy on the team doing that the
work,
you want
to do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your captain, Sean. Hey,
no.
Just make sure you're out. If you want one guy
in the team to kind of say, hey guys, I've had enough. I'm going to head back to the dorms. You know, it's your goaltender.
Hey, no, I did like every good college kid would like, and plus it was my hometown, right? Like, so I knew how to get around East Lansing and I know what to do, how to hang. So, no, I've always had a lot of fun with the boys, but you did call it right. Like I've always had the ability to have awareness about myself and know what to expect out of myself the next day. If I had my day ahead of me where I knew what to expect, yeah, I'd let loose. If I knew that there's something coming that I had to take seriously, then I knew when to pull the chute and throw some ninja smoke and disappear. And
Riv, we were in Washington and Goose and Millsy were roommates. And I realized I go to the bathroom and I'm sitting on the toilet. And Colette is my roommate. And there's a phone in the bathroom right next to the toilet. So I call my own room and it rings. I'm like, let me see if I can call Colette. So I call Colette from the bathroom and I'm like, yes, hello, this is Turndown Service. And I was wondering if you'd like your bed turned down and a chocolate on your pillow. And I can hear Coletta through the door going, what? And I'm like, this is the hotel Turndown Service. Would you like your bed turned down and a chocolate on your pillow? And he's like, no, thanks. I'm already in bed. And he hangs up. So now I'm like, I call back and I'm like, I go, who was that? He's like, who's this? I go, it's Petey. I'm in the bathroom. I go, who calls? So listen. So I called down to the, actually, I called down to the front desk. I was like, can you please connect me to Ryan Miller's room, please? So they called, I called the room. Goose answers. And this, do you remember this, Millsy? I called everybody. I called fucking Pominville. I called Millsy.
You asked me if it was 66 degrees in his room?
Turn down service and a chocolate on your pillow. And I, like, fucking Goose was like, what? What? So then I call back. I call the same room back. And Millsy answers, you guys were asleep. This is probably 11:30 at night. And all I hear is, I fucking know it's you, Petey.
Sounds about right.
I was like, oh, I'm fucked. I hang up. So it brings me back. It brings me back to that night in Pittsburgh where you're looking down the hall and I look, I stick my, remember I messed up my hair. I stick my head out and Millsy goes, and I'm like, what's going on out here? And you go, shut up, Petey. I know it's you. I know you. I know it's you. Oh, the next day on the bus, man, you ate your egg sandwich from that place around the corner and you were just fucking silent. I love you, man. Too. I do. Hey. I have so much respect for you and what, how you, how professional you were, Millsy, is unbelievable. It's a different chart, different.
Well, that's why I had to reward you boys with a catwalk.
Fuck, I got a lot of memorabilia to go along with that memory.
Petey will not stop. Like, he is so excited to have you on here. He would literally tell stories for the next 4 hours.
Hey. We need to get Drew, you, and my brother on with me and Craig.
Craig,
what you know, Drew and Jeff live together in Portland.
Yeah, Drew and Jeff live
like
together
they live. They were, you want to talk American League?
Getting called out
could
here.
You imagine, I've asked him, could you imagine two Peters on a podcast together? A it'd be times. Like two that, squirrels would, chasing
like,
a nut.
It'd be like my life for a while.
You like, got to understand
when,
something.
Down in Rochester when Andrew was during the lockout, it was Jeff and Andrew. Petey would come down just because he's bored and just hang out with us.
On that note, got some editing to do.